Hi, thanks for listening to Extreme Encounter Ministries podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged through this time and through this teaching. God bless you, and thanks again for listening.
You know, I was thinking as I was preparing and as I was studying and praying, and I really feel like we are learning to be sons and daughters. I really feel like we're learning to be that. We've got to understand that we've been grafted in, that we've been adopted, that we belong to Him. And so we have Daddy's attributes at work inside of us, but we're learning to be sons and we're learning to be daughters. The blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat speaking on my behalf. Amen. That now, because of what Jesus did, that you understand this, folks. If you don't understand this by now, if you're visiting, I'll let you know something, that through Christ, there's a great exchange that's taken place, that Jesus became my sin so that I could become His righteousness. That's what Scripture tells us. And we understand and we identify with the crucifixion. We identify with what Jesus did on the cross, which is what Paul did. Paul said something pretty crazy. After the crucifixion already took place, Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." So you have to understand that with Jesus, Jesus became everything that you were so that you could become everything that He is. So we're learning to walk in this. You've got to get this understanding in this revelation that we are learning to be sons and we're learning to be daughters. A picture that kind of a weird one. God gives me weird pictures. Maybe it's because I'm weird and He knows I'm weird and He speaks to me in the ways that I speak. If you're wondering what God sounds like when He talks, most generally He sounds like you. We disregard just those fleeting thoughts that we have, and we don't necessarily understand that that's God speaking to us. He speaks your language. Listen, understand, God gets you. Even in the midst of the dumb stuff that you and I do, He gets you, and He's in love with you. That's exciting. But God loves you right where you're at. Picture that He showed me is if you've ever seen, how embarrassing is this? If you've ever seen, but it's what He showed me, Little Orphan Annie. Anyone seen that? You guys are like, "Oh, no, I've never seen Little Orphan." Yes, you have. Little Orphan Annie. The sun will come out tomorrow. Yeah. Bet your bottom. Do you want me to? The sun will come out. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, one by one, it's usually what happens. And here she is living a life as an orphan. And she becomes adopted. And she has to readjust to living in this richness that's very foreign to her. So there's a learning process that, yes, she becomes adopted. She belongs to her daddy at that very moment. But you have to learn how to live in the richness. You've got to understand that there's such a richness to God's grace and to God's mercy that we don't understand how to live and to operate in it. And so a lot of times we will revert back to that orphan mentality. That we are no longer orphans. You're not out there just hitting and missing it in life. You are not an orphan anymore. That when you come to Christ, you become brand new. You've been grafted in. Now you've been given the right by His Spirit to cry out, "Abba, Father, Daddy, God." That's who He is now. So we are learning to operate as sons and daughters. It's who you are, but it's what you have to learn. That's what Scripture talks about when it talks about renewing your mind. You're not renewing your mind to become something. You are renewing your mind to who you already are. See, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. You don't renew your mind to become righteous. You renew your mind so that you think, "I'm righteous." Why is that important? Because as a man thinks, what does Scripture say? So is he. So if you think you're an orphan, if you think you're no good, if you think, "Well, this is how it's always going to be," then guess what? That's how it's always going to be. But when we think according to the Word and what God says about us, then that's what's going to be produced in our lives. Okay? We're learning to be sons and we're learning to be daughters. A couple of things, just real quick. I just need to... John chapter 12. There's a lot in this, and I don't like jumping in the middle of a text. I think it's important to read before and after. That's why we take so many scriptures, out of context. It's because we just jump on a scripture without reading before and after. And we're going to read a few scriptures today that you really have to get the meaning of what's being written. Number one, when we read a book like Ephesians, and we're going to read into Romans just real briefly here this morning. But as we do, you have to understand that it was originally written, it was not written with different chapters and verses. The author did that in order to make it easier to read. But it's a letter. And so there's no breaking of this letter. When you read chapter 6 of Romans, chapter 7 of Romans, chapter 8, it sounds like it's contradicting. If you just read chapter 7 of Romans, you're not going to understand chapter 6 and chapter 8. It's not going to make sense. But you have to read it in the context. Anyway, John chapter 12, verse 32 says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth," if I be lifted up, talked about this before, right? If I be lifted up, that's not talking about praise and worship. It's not. Let's lift Jesus up. Yes, we lift him up in our worship. But that's not what this is talking about. He's talking about the cross. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, they took the cross, drove the nails in his hands and in his feet, and then they lifted up the cross. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You have to note this, that the word men is not in the original Greek text. It's not there. One translation says, all peoples unto me. The word peoples is not there. It's just the word all. The translators added that word. Please check it out. So it basically, this is what it says. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. All what? Let's read this. John chapter 12. Let's read before. This is important to understand this. Let's start with verse 28. Father, glory your name. He talks about his soul is troubled. And then he says, Father, glory your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have been glorified, have glorified it, and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. In other words, not everyone hears. You've got to hear. But for your sake. Now is the judgment of the world. He said this in John. He said, now is the judgment. Judgment is we're going to talk about the definition. I'm jumping ahead a little bit because I'm getting excited. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Read it in context. Listen. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all to me. He said, now is the judgment. And if I am lifted up, I will draw it all to me. So Jesus was saying, now is the judgment. There's judgment for sin. But if I am lifted up, I will draw all the judgment to me. Jesus took your judgment. Look at the word judgment. Well, what's that mean? Three basic definitions in the word judgment there. In the Greek, this is not like Webster's definition. This is genuinely what it means in the Greek. It means by implication, justice. It means this, accusation, condemnation, in damnation. He said, now is the time of accusation. Wait, why is that important? Because according to Scripture, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means all means some. No, it means all. That regardless of how good we think we are, all have sinned and fallen short. You are accused of being a sinner. Secondly is condemnation. Condemnation means judged according to the law. So by the standards of the law, you have been judged guilty. Everyone. If you've ever turned on TBN or Inspiration, I'm not sure what it's on. Kirk Cameron is on there with the Ten Commandments, which is a good thing. The Ten Commandments point to what? The goodness of God. It shows us our need for a Savior. Have you ever lied? Then you're a liar. Have you ever hated? Scripture says if you hate, then you've murdered in your heart. So you're a murderer. So you're guilty. And so the second aspect of judgment is condemnation. Judged according to the law. The law says you're guilty. The third area of judgment is damnation. Damnation means this, ruin or loss. It means this, physical loss or spiritual loss. It means eternal loss. So you are damned without Christ in this earth because of sin to experience loss. Because we're in a fallen world, people die. Look it. It means this. Damnation means destruction, death, perdition. It means, and I didn't know what this meant, it means pernicious ways, which means harmful ways. Waste, a wasted life. So look at this. Jesus said this. This is so important to get this, folks, because we need to understand what Christ has done, what that means for us, and then we learn to walk in it, which is what we should be doing. Now is the judgment. Accusation. You're accused. Accusation means it's a criminal charge. Condemnation. Jesus said, now is a time of condemnation. You're judged according to the law. Now is a time of damnation. It's a time of loss. And then look what he says. But if I be lifted up. God, that's good news. He said, if I be lifted up, I will take all the criminal charge upon myself. If I be lifted up, that I will be judged according to the law. I will take the judgment that was supposed to be yours according to the law. That's why Scripture, listen to me, hear this. That's why Scripture says the wrath of God was satisfied. The judge sat at the judgment seat, and when Jesus did what he did, the gavel came down. Are you getting this? He said, if I be lifted up, I will take all the judgment. People want judgment. It was taken on Jesus. All the damnation, he said. This is not my opinion. This is the scripture. This is why we need to know the word, folks. He said, if I be lifted up, I will take all loss, physical, spiritual, or eternal upon myself. That's good news. If I be lifted up, I will take all the loss. Physical? No, now that means now no longer in Christ. Death is not a bad thing. It's you go to sleep and get to be with Jesus. The sting of death is removed. That'll make you happy if you think about it long enough. That's why we have funerals for believers. It's a time to remember and rejoice. Jealousy maybe isn't a good thing, but dear God, I wish I could be where they are. If I be lifted up, I will take all physical, spiritual, or eternal loss upon myself. If I be lifted up, I will take all destruction, death, pernicious, harmful ways. If I be lifted up, I will take the harmful ways upon myself. That's why we come to the cross, because we live in harmful ways. We live in ways that produce harm, that we reap what we sow. And so Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will take those harmful ways on the cross so that you can walk in my way. You can walk according to my statutes. You can walk according to what I have planned for you. You get to. And then finally, if I be lifted up, waste. He says, I will take all the waste. You ever feel like life is a waste? See, God exchanges a life that seems wasted for a life of purpose. And so what we're doing, you're like, oh, I don't get this. What we're doing is we are learning to walk in this. Do you know how you learn? Do you know how you walk in this? As a man thinks. Come on, this is really practical. How do you change the way you think? The Word. It's the washing, Scripture calls it, of the water of the Word. So you can walk out of here saying this if you want to. You, in a sense, you get brainwashed. I knew it. I've been saying it all these years. It changes the way that we think, folks. The Word does. There's something scientifically proven that's known as brain mapping. And it begins as a young child. Brain mapping is this. There's courses that your brain takes. Because of environmental, because of things that have happened in your life, because of things you have or the lack in your life, it will cause you to think a certain way. And so you find yourself thinking in very unhealthy patterns, and you can't help it because your brain is wired to think that. It's brain mapping. It's scientifically proven. There's actually tracks in the brain that when something happens or something triggers, you're going to act or react a certain way. You know, people that are prone to worry, they've always worried. It's brain mapping. It's in your brain to do that, as well as it's spiritual as well. But when we understand that what happens with the Word or the washing of the water of the Word is it retracts or retraces that brain mapping in our brain. It actually really happens. So that we begin to think according to the Word. And that's when this scripture is so important, that as a man thinks, so is he. So as we ingest the Word and we're in God's presence and we love on Him and He loves on us, the brain mapping changes and we begin to think differently. People get so frustrated. I can't stop. You need to begin the process of your brain being remapped. Listen, there's times like in can we be really honest? You know, I've been a little envious of the ones who instantaneous change. I think it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And what a testimony of God's goodness. You see people instantaneously delivered from addiction. Instantaneously, night and day, they're not the same person. And some of you, that's happened. And then there's some where it's like there's the process. And so we get frustrated, but there's something that's got to change in our thinking. Because your thoughts will frame your world. Because they will come out of your mouth. Good and bad, they'll come out of your mouth. So we change the way we think according to the Word. And Jesus was lifted up and He took all of that mess upon Himself. All of those things, all of the judgment, all the condemnation. He took the ability for you to, regardless of where you've been and what you've done, to cause your head to be raised high. Yes. Isn't that good? Isn't that beautiful? Is anyone tired of just with your head hanging down because of, you know, the condemnation and things that have happened and mistakes you've made? He took all of that upon Himself so you could come with your head held high. That's what He means. You could come now boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Good news, right? And so we understand that through that exchange, that Jesus took the judgment upon Himself. Please look at this, just to take my word for it. That word men or people was not there in the original text. So He's talking about the aforementioned verse. He took the judgment upon Himself. So that exchange took place. Like, it makes no sense, like when Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he brought correction. Correction's a good thing. Correction is good. And we need correction. We live in a society and a generation that it's not about correction. God is your friend, and he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But when we view that friendship as like parent and child, that they try to be the buddy, you know what I mean? And it just produces rebellion. That's not what God is. Yes, he's a friend, but he's also daddy. He also brings correction. It's not my opinion. I would rather not. Scripture says he chastens, he corrects those that he loves. And if he doesn't correct you, then he doesn't love you. He loves you, so he'll correct you. So correction is a good thing. But we understand now, because of what Jesus has done, the goodness now that's inside of us. 1 John 1:5 says this. Listen to what Jesus said. Where's Holy Spirit taken residence as a believer? In my car. No. He's inside of you. He's in the church. And so that's why when we go outside of the church, we just, woo, whippity-doo, we do whatever we want to do. No, Holy Spirit's here. I am now the housing of the Holy Spirit, and so are you. Now look at what he says, 1 John 1:5. In me is light and no darkness at all. What's that mean for you? In you is light. So we renew our mind according to the truth. The problem is you and I view truth as what the temporal things that we see. We see temporal things. We see struggles. We see, oh, I'm still doing this. And we view those things as truth. But we have to understand it's a matrix of sorts. And the truth is what God says. The truth is the exchange that's taken place on the cross. So you cause yourself to think according to who you really are. He said, in me is light. And no darkness at all. Rashawn 1 says that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from what?
All.
Say that again.
All
sin. Good news.
Amen.
Now my opinion is what Scripture says. It says if we say we have no sin, it means this. If we say we have no need for the blood. If we say, read this whole thing. We don't have time because I want to move on. But read that whole thing in 1 John. 1 John, all of 1 John chapter 1. Read that. Because he says, if you say that you have no sin, if you say you have no need for the blood, then you are a liar. Because then it goes on to say, for all have sinned, right? And then it says, but the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all. And then it goes on later to say, read this because it's so good. I really want to move on to this last bit. It says this crazy thing that I think people struggle and wrestle with. Oh, I probably need to read it. Is everybody okay? We got till 3, so if you're visiting, just kidding. I'll be quick. My Bible's falling apart. 1 John. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for being just so good and amazing and beautiful and wonderful and loving me. You're so awesome. Okay. He says, I've written it to you. I've lost my spot. He says this, that you may not sin. Which means it's possible. Which means that's the objective. It's not a striving to not sin, but he's written this to you that you are not sin conscious, that you are not focused on sin. Yes, there are sins. Things happen that we need to say, you know, we need to repent. We allow things in our life. We need to repent of those things still. But he's saying you can live so that you do not sin. And then it goes on to say, it doesn't say, and when, it says, and if you sin, if. When gives you an excuse. It says, and if you sin, you have an advocate. You have a God. You have a Jesus who stands in the gap for you. That's good news. We're slaves to righteousness. And the fruit of the righteousness is holiness in our lives. It's like we've embraced lies and we've pulled out partial truths when we read the word. Like Romans chapter 6. Thank you, God. Wow, God's so good. Romans chapter 6 talks about, talks about that I'm free. So it talks about that I live by the Spirit, right? You've read it in Romans, and not the flesh. It's the accomplished work of Christ. Romans 6 talks about being dead to sin, but alive to God. It's not something that you become, it's something that you are through the cross. You don't become dead to sin, you are dead to sin by the cross, and so you've got to repent, change your mind, you've got to read this word, you've got to ingest this word, get it inside of you, so that you believe according to the truth. You are dead to sin because of what Jesus did. That's what Romans 6 says. Romans 7 talks about a man still living under the law. Romans 7 talks about living under the law. And through living under the law, the carnal nature, it says that that man is damned. It says that man is doomed. It talks about wanting to do what he can't do. But then we read in Romans 8, that's why you have to read it all in context. It talks about not being condemned because you live by grace. That's what Romans 8 says. So we just immediately jump to Romans 7 without reading before and after. Okay? And it's talking about the division between law and grace. Spirit and not flesh in Romans 8. You can read without understanding. Okay, the last scripture I have. Is everybody okay? I know I'm jumping around a lot, but Colossians chapter 3, and this is all I got. Thank you, God. Colossians chapter 3. Wow. Is everybody good? That's me stalling till I find Colossians chapter 3. I would never do well at like Bible quiz. Wow. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 3. Okay. You guys are so much more spiritual than me. Colossians chapter 3. What?
I got tags.
Oh, you got those tabs. We call those the cheaters. Which is okay. I mean, obviously I need them too. Apparently. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 5. Just kidding. Okay. So if then, listen to this. Again, it's jumping in the middle. So read the before and after. Take this home. Is it okay to give you homework? Or do we just, Sunday's enough. Okay, so read it before because we started with chapter 3. It says if. Obviously, you can't start with that. So you have to read. It says this. If you were raised with Christ, or because, really is how this is properly, because you were raised with Christ, seek things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, which is also our position. Ephesians 2 says that he raised us up and seated us in heavenly praises with Christ Jesus, that we are seated with him in heavenly places. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died. We talk about the new birth, but we don't talk about the death. You have to understand that you died with Christ. That you partook outside of time because it was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. It's so, the profundity of what happened on the cross is so amazing. that Jesus did it, that the cross, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, is just as fresh and new today as it was 2,000 years ago. The cross is just as real as if it happened right now as it happened 2,000 years ago. That's important to understand because it's applicable now. It's personal now. It's a personal relationship now. So for you died. You have died. You are crucified with Christ. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. You don't hide for the sake of hiding, but you're hiding from something. So you're hidden in Christ so that anything that's not Christ can't touch you. You're hidden in Christ. If you're hidden, all that you see is that which you're hidden in. Which means this: God just sees Jesus. As he is, so are we. Oh, there's so much to this. This could get me shouting and jumping. But I'm not going to. I'm too tired. Tiger. Sean. Okay. So, for you died, blah, blah, blah. When Christ... I didn't mean to say blah, blah, blah about the Bible. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. So you've been hidden in Christ, so you just renounce and deny these things. Right? And it's that simple. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. It's talking about bad passion, not good passion. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience are the ones who've not yet come into sonship. Otherwise, they would just be called sons. They're not sons of God, they're sons of disobedience. There's a difference. It's not talking about people that are saved. It's not. It's talking about sons of disobedience, which is not who you are, because you obeyed unto salvation. Makes you a son of obedience. Whether you feel like you walk in obedience in your life is another issue. But through the cross, you obeyed the cross, you received it, so you are no longer a son of disobedience. So this doesn't apply, the disobedient part. Do you get that? Please read it in context. In which you yourselves, what? Once walked when you lived in them. This is what you once were. Okay? But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Push them off. It's kind of a picture of it's kind of a picture of like a force field. That nothing, you those things come and you put them off. Those things just bounce off of you. You push these things off. You don't allow these things in your life. Ready? Anger. Again, you have to read it in context. There's a good anger. Scripture says, be angry and sin not. So he's not contradicting himself. There's a good anger. Sometimes it's okay to be mad. Sometimes it's okay to be mad at injustice. Sometimes it's okay to be mad at what you see the devil do in people's lives. Sometimes it's okay to be mad when you see people, not at the people, but at the situation and the injustices that the law brings in people's lives. It's okay to be angry about that, but don't allow it to produce sin. Okay? But this is the anger that's not good. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. He's just making this simple. Since you have put off the old man with its deeds. Since that's not who you are anymore, don't lie. That's what he's saying. It's not, oh, I'm a liar. No, he's saying you're not a liar, so don't lie. He's saying you're righteous, so act like it. Don't act like it to become righteous. You are righteous, so act like it. Meaning there are things that are not conducive for you. If you deal with fear, what the heck are you watching scary movies for? It's stupid. dealing with fear. Well, you watched a scary movie. It's no wonder. I'm not trying to do, like, you know, the old, not clothesline, but the preaching. I'm going to list all these things you shouldn't do. I'm not saying that. But he's saying in a very practical way, this is who you are, so this is what should come out of your life. And if you're allowing things in contrary to who you are, he's saying, what are you doing? Just don't do it. And I think he made it that simple. He said, you can walk free. You can just do it. It's just too hard for me. Yeah, no, it's not. That's just an excuse. Because you have the greater one living inside. It's just, I'm weak. No, you're not. No, you're not. You have all the power you need at residence inside of you. You just have to tell yourself that. You, as a man thinks, if you think you're weak, then you're weak. And you'll fall for the junk that the devil throws at you every single time. Because you think you're weak. You give in to those lusts and those desires. He's saying, that's not who you are. You're not a lustful person, so quit acting like it. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Lustful righteousness of God. You're the righteousness of God. You're acting contrary to who you are. Okay. I know I said I was going to move. But, put off all these things. Blasphemy, filthy, blah, blah, blah. Do not lie to one another since you have been put off the old man. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You are renewed in knowledge. What does that mean? I don't know what to do. Yes, you do, because you've been renewed in knowledge. You have to learn to tap into it. You do know, because the knower lives inside of you. You've just conditioned yourself to do the wrong things for so long that you think that's who you are, and you're not. Either the cross makes us new, or it doesn't. Either have a new identity or we don't. And if we're doing things contrary to the new identity, you just need to stop. He is giving you power to do that. What was that chick's name? I mean, that's disrespectful. That girl's name, sorry. That had amnesia. Was there? No. This is like a story about. Was she? Wasn't it like a? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I really wish there was a button. Like for instance, when I was singing, I wish there was a button that I could push and just. Disappear. Leave it to Mark. Mark can just get up and go, oh, thanks for coming. Or he could preach too. It'd be good. Oh, anyway, amnesia. It's like we walk around with that. And so it's like, you know, and then when someone has amnesia, one of the ways that they come out of it is by being reminded of things from the past, being shown pictures. Sometimes someone will come that knows them and they've had an encounter or a relationship with, will come in and talk about the relationship, read letters to them and do all of these things so that something will click in their brain. And that's what happens with the word. It gives you pictures. It's pictures. See, this is who you are. That's why it talks, the word is a mirror. It reflects who we are. We look into this, what is it called? Perfect, say perfect. Perfect. Law of liberty. It's the perfect law of freedom, and it shows us who we are. And so when we have spiritual amnesia and we're acting a fool, we just look into the word and say, no, 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 that's who I am. And the more that you do this, the more that your mind is renewed, the more that your actions will change. I'm talking to some of you that are getting frustrated because nothing is changing in your life. Keep looking in the mirror. Until you go, that's what I look like. And as you think according to who you are, those things will be manifested in your life. Throw your shoe at me or something. This is good preaching. Because, not you, Sean. I love you, but I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. Woo! Put that shoe back on. What are you doing? So we change the way we think. Colossians chapter 3. I'm almost done. Sorry to offend you. Thanks for coming. And having put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. You're renewed in knowledge. You. That's why, listen, we're renewed in knowledge. Have you ever met someone that just got saved and all of these deep things come out of them? Like, how could you even know that? Because we are renewed in knowledge according to Christ. We have the mind of Christ is not something we could do this all day. Mind of Christ. And we've done that before. No, she has the mind of Christ because of the newness of the cross. You have the mind of Christ. The problem is we don't tap into thinking the way Jesus thinks. You have his mind in you. Amen. That's important to understand because, you know, Holy Spirit doesn't just move his foot in. All of who he is in you. It's his mind. It's his emotions. That's why, you know, we're in God's presence or you're out there and you didn't care before. Suddenly you care. Why? You have who he is inside of you. You're hidden in Christ. Amen. Okay. This is really good. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all. And all. So your life is hidden in him. So Jesus took all the judgment, took all of those things, the condemnation upon himself. So we walk. So my prayer, God, I just pray, God, that you, Daddy, you teach us to walk according to who we are. Thank you, God, that as we go through life, and things happen in life that cause us to forget who we are. And so I act contrary to being the righteousness of God in Christ. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that reminds me and convicts me of righteousness and says, you are righteous. William, that's not who you are. Don't walk that way. That's not who you are. Don't do that. That's not going to be beneficial. Don't let that in your life. What did Paul say? He said, everything is lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. So we come into Christ with this freedom that God says, you are free now. And he said, don't use your freedom. What does he say? As an opportunity for the flesh. Why? Because you could easily do that. I am free. I have freedom in God. He says, no, don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh. He said, not everything is beneficial. You open that door and guess what? You're going to have a problem. So don't open that door. And because you have the knowledge of God that's been renewed in you, you know that you know. You know when we're doing something wrong or you're doing something wrong, you know that you know that it's wrong. We deny it because of amnesia. But we know. We know. And so the devil wants to put condemnation on you. You knew it was wrong. You are no good. You're not really saved. You don't love God. How could you love God? Do you know what you just did? Do you see what you did? That's not him. He comes with his grace and his mercy. He says, that's not who you are. You can go on. You really? Guess what? He won't stop you. His love won't change for you. This is why it's so easy to just walk in the things we want to do, because his love does not waver. And in the middle of me doing whatever the heck I want to do, he still consistently, persistently loves me exactly the same. But he reminds me in the mirror that those things are not beneficial. Thank you, God, again. Back to praying. You're so good. I thank you, God, that you get me. Good thing.
We pray the Holy Spirit has ministered to your heart. Thanks again for listening. For more information on our ministry, visit us at extremeencounter.org.